we're often taught the importance of agreement. But what if I were to tell you that agreement is not essential to unity? This will blow your mind, and it will also really help you. Let's go forward. Today, I want to talk about something that's really, really interesting. Because we're always taught to try to find the common ground. In other words, to try to agree. We want to agree to be agreeable. And sometimes we want to agree to disagree. But in any case, we strive for agreement because we're taught that agreement is this basic virtue that we should all aspire to. But guess what? I'm going to hit you with something that you may never have heard. And that is that agreement is not essential to unity. Let me give you some examples. For example, we live here in the great United States of America. And I humbly submit to you that there is just as much difference between the state of Alabama and the state of California. But guess what? If the United States of America is attacked, then Alabama would rush to the aid of California and vice versa. Or at least we hope so. You follow what I'm saying? These two states have two distinct cultures, but yet they are part of a united whole. It's funny how we go on social media, and social media is a very interesting place. It's sort of like the frontier or the wild, wild west of the internet, because basically it's like anything goes. And it's a funny thing because people will go out to the page or the account of another person looking for disagreement. In other words, they're looking to pick a fight, or they're looking to pick apart some ideological or psychological or spiritual perspective of another person. And honestly, let me say this about that. For those of you who do engage in social media, understand that when you have the ability to see someone's social media, that you are essentially a guest in their house. And just like you would behave a certain way, comport yourself a certain way in someone's house, let me just give you a bit of advice here, that maybe you should comport yourself in a similar manner when you're on someone else's social media page. And again, this is kind of off the subject because that's not really what I want to get to. But the problem is that people go out to social media sites and they look to disagree, especially like when there's a distinct difference in spiritual or political perspectives. That's a trigger. And honestly, listen, I understand this, that I've been married to my wife for almost 20 years, and we don't agree on everything. In fact, I would say that we agree on the majority of things, but the things that we disagree on, it's pretty sizable. But the thing is that we understand that how we feel about one another is greater than any disagreement that we may have, because we look at our disagreements from the standpoint is, does this harm one or the other, or does this harm our marriage, or does this harm our children? And if it doesn't harm anyone, then typically we're good with what we disagree with. And I'm going to get to more of that in a minute. But when we go out to social media sites and we look to disagree, and I'm going to tell you, I'll be perfectly honest, I used to be that dude. I used to be the guy who would go out to people's social media sites looking to disagree, looking to pick apart their position, looking to start an argument or an online fight. And basically, and I'm going to say something that's kind of crass, but this is the truth, because basically what we do is we go out here into social media and we like to engage in big dick contests. And you listen, honestly, I've reached a point where that's no longer important to me. That's no longer a part of my life. I'm not looking to prove a point. I don't care what anybody else thinks as long as what they think doesn't harm me or anyone else. And so I'm not going out looking for fights. I'm not looking for arguments. I'm content to share my thoughts and let it ride. And honestly, if we could get to that collectively, I think the world would be a much better place. But let me share something with you, because this will bring it into stark relief. For those of you who are watching this video, this will help you. If you're listening by audio, you'll have to trust my description. But it's this. The human body is a series of agreements and disagreements. If you're looking at the video, you'll see that I'm flexing my hand open and closed. Now, in order for me to do this, my body is in a series of agreements and disagreements, of protagonist and antagonist movements that cause my hand to open and close. Why is this important? Because my hand opening and closing allows me to do things like pick up a pen to write with, or to pick up a tool to perform some task with, or to type, or to dial, or any number of things. But this agreement and disagreement allows me to perform functions that are essential to the unity of my body. Walking, putting one foot in front of the other, is a series of agreements and disagreements. That one foot becomes the protagonist when the other is the antagonist, and vice versa. And your feet are going through the same process, and your hips are going through the same process. And all of this agreement and disagreement is essential to the unity of the body. As a matter of fact, when we look at our digestive system, particularly our stomach, contains different types of acids that if these acids were released into the body, they'd be toxic and they could potentially cause death. However, these acids are essential to the digestion of food and the release of nutrients into the body that cause the body to live. Now, I could go on and on about this, but here's the thing that people say, well, you know, if we could all just agree, and this is part of the problem with religion and politics, is that basically religion and politics take belief, which is something personal, and export it corporately. In other words, now I want to take my belief and link it with someone who believes like me so that we can have sufficient enough numbers where we can overwhelm or overtake people who don't believe like us. And that is the danger of ideology. And when you're in an ideological frame of mind, you're looking to dominate. And see, here's the thing. Here in America, we have this culture of winning. And everybody wants to own the opposition. In other words, we want to have it so tight over them. We want to have our shit together to the point where we just absolutely overwhelm them with, if we can't overwhelm them with logic, we'll overwhelm them with rhetoric. But I digress. Again, this agreement and disagreement is essential for the life of the body. You take in a breath. You exhale. your diaphragm is contracting and expanding to bring air in and to expel carbon dioxide outward, and your lungs inflate and deflate. They expand and contract. And all of this agreement and disagreement is essential to the life of the body. Now, again, about this belief thing, let me get back to that. Because this is the thing. We all believe something. Some of us believe in supply-side economics. Some of us believe in government spending. Some of us believe in Christianity. Some of us believe in Islam. Some of us believe that men and women have distinct roles in society. Others believe that there's a bit of fluidity in genders as far as roles are concerned. We all believe differently. And belief in and of itself is not bad. My take on it is, and this is my personal take, this is a Derekism, your mileage may vary, and it's this, that we all believe differently, and it's okay. It's okay to believe differently, as long as our personal beliefs are not at the expense of someone else. As long as our beliefs do not explicitly harm others. Matter of fact, they shouldn't even implicitly harm. You follow what I'm saying? Our beliefs should not be harmful to anyone else. If we believe that way, then we believe incorrectly, and we're in danger of upsetting the societal fabric and also harming someone. Now, there is only one time that the human body is in absolute agreement, and that is when we have that moment when we lie still on the Undertaker's table. At that point, every single organism in the human body is in complete agreement. The foot will say to the eye, "Hey, eye," and the foot and the eye will reply, "Hey, foot, how you doing?" And the foot says, "Hey, man, I'm dead. How are you?" The eye says, "Man, I'm dead too. I'm dead than a motherfucker." You follow what I'm saying? That at that particular time, the body is in complete agreement that everything is dead, that life has ceased, and that there is no more life in the body. And so now we are at a state of total agreement. Let me say that again for the folks in the back, that when you're dead, that's when you are in complete agreement. So when something or two people or an organism or a group is in complete agreement, that means that this now has achieved death. There is no more life in the situation because now everything is in agreement. You see, complete agreement is death. And so we can't have that. But what we can have is unity. It's just like the kidneys believe differently than the brain. The brain believes differently than the heart. The heart believes differently than the liver. The liver believes differently than the feet. And that is because each one has a specific function. And all of these different functions are essential to life. So it's okay that we believe differently as long as our beliefs are for the benefit of others and not the harm of others. See, this is how cancer works, right? Cancer is an organism that springs forth from the body. It doesn't originate outside the body. It originates inside the body. But what happens is that something, there's a bad genetic expression or bad environmental expression, and something causes cancer cells to multiply. And when these cancer cells multiply, they begin to produce the onset of death. But the thing is that these cells emerge or emanate from within the body, and then white blood cells, antibodies, and other cells in the body come and react to the cancer. And typically, a living, healthy body will catch these things before they manifest or express into a real life-threatening condition. Again, it's agreement and disagreement. All of the cells of the body that are healthy all believe differently, but they may agree or disagree, but they do work toward the unity of the body. In other words, they're committed to doing their part to keeping the body alive. This is really so powerful, because if we can get this, we'll learn to get along. We'll learn to basically share space and not feel like we have to attack every idea that's contrary to our own. See, here's the thing. It's a sign of spiritual and intellectual maturity when you are able to entertain or hold two distinct thoughts that may be opposite to one another. But you are able to hold these thoughts and hang on to that which you believe or what you find to be superior. But it is also a hallmark of intellectual and spiritual maturity that when you encounter some information, some knowledge, something that is superior to what you believe to be right and what you hold to be true, that when you are able to take that and allow it to displace the information or the belief that you held earlier. See, that's a sign of your ability to grow, and it also is a sign of life in your body, because there's life in your mind. Listen, a dead mind cannot entertain additional thoughts. A dead mind becomes galvanized, reprobate, stuck, bound. And that's where we don't want to be. We want to be fluid. We want to be pliable. We want to be agile. We want to be flexible. We want to be able to pivot on the information that we have. Because, see, this ability to pivot is really a determining factor in how effective you'll be in life. Because if you can be flexible, if you can be pliable, if you can be fluid, if you can entertain two disparate thoughts and allow one to be superior to another. See, listen, this is another thing. We frequently, using the hand analogy, we hold on to things tightly. We H-O-D-L, hold on for dear life. Because we believe that what we believe is so profound and so essential to our lives that if I let go of this, I may lose my mental bearing. I may lose my spiritual bearing. But that's not the case. Listen, be fearless. And I'm not saying that, everybody is going to have some amount of fear that they contend with. There's no one who's completely fearless, but you don't let fear drive you. You have to learn to hold on loosely and be able to let go. Because in the military, we had to do an obstacle course where it was overhanging ladder, or what we call monkey bars. And basically, you have to traverse these bars. And this is a test of your upper body strength. Well, in order for you to move across this obstacle, you have to release one bar before you can go on to the next one. Because if you're unwilling to release your grip on one of those bars, forward progress is impossible. We have to learn to when to hold on and when to let go, Because there is always, no matter what it is that you know, no matter what it is that you believe, there is a superior piece of knowledge, a superior piece of wisdom, a superior spiritual understanding that will come and displace that which you cling to. You got to learn to let go. And I'll share something else with you, and this may help you. That I believe that at the end of the day, we don't own anything. Everything that we recognize in the physical space is all leased to us. We all have a short-term lease on things. We have a lease on our cars, our homes, our jobs, our families. We don't own anything. And what happens is that when you get too yoked to any one thing, and this is why people really trip out and go postal, for example, when they lose their job, because they're so yoked to this job, they can't imagine life without it. But the thing is that sometimes situations, circumstances will show up that will cause you to lose something. And you have to learn that that sometimes when you lose something, it's not a terrible thing. If we learn to look at loss as an opportunity to gain, or look at loss as an opportunity to grow. Nobody likes loss. Nobody likes to lose their job. No one likes to lose their finances. No one likes to lose their life or the life of a loved one. No one likes that. But it is part of the process of life. And listen, what I've learned is that when you act in unison with something, it's just like dance. Dance is a great analogy. In order to do a two-step or a waltz or the ballroom or whatever, it requires some agreement and disagreement among the parties that are dancing. But when you look at it, it's a fluid movement. And it reveals something beautiful, something artistic, and even something sensual. Music is another example. In music, you have notes that make noise and you have rests that are silent. But the thing is that without strategically placed rests, disagreement in the music, it's simply noise. We have to learn that disagreement in and of itself is not a bad thing, but disagreement should result in unity. Good disagreement will result in unity. See, this is the thing where if we stop thinking of things in terms of wins and losses and whether or not we're going to come out on top. If we stop thinking of that and start thinking of things in terms of a dance, how well do we move together? How does this look to a third party observing it? How does it feel while we're doing it? And if you think of all of these things, man, imagine what humanity would be like if we just simply looked at it as a dance or a musical piece. Because the agreement and disagreement in the right places will result in a harmony. And that is the beautiful thing. That is where we want to get. So, again, let's go back to social media for a second. When you go out, you're going to see things that will grate at your intellect. They will grate at your spirit. And you may really, really, really want to respond to that because you're thinking in terms of winning and losing. But a lot of times that when you see something that you disagree with, you're not in disagreement with it because it's harmful. You disagree with it simply because you find it offensive or distasteful or irritating. Well, let me tell you this. Not everything that's hurtful is harmful. And we need to learn to discern between the two of those. And I'll talk about that in another talk, because the difference between hurt and harm is a huge thing that we routinely miss. So again, unity is the key. And unity simply means that we exist in harmony. That's all. That we exist in harmony, that we may be different. We may believe different. We may look different. We may think different. And all of that disagreement is actually essential to humanity. Because there's an old saying that if any two people agree on every single thing, one isn't necessary. And I want you to know, as you're listening to this, that you are necessary. You're vital. You wouldn't be in this world if the world didn't need you. The universe has produced you in this place at this time for a specific range of reasons. You thought I was going to say a specific reason, and it's not. That's another discussion in and of itself too. But I think that that's pretty much what I have for you today. And I hope that that encourages you. But one of the things that I want you to do is that as you go out and you traverse social media, that remember, you don't have to respond to everything that you disagree with. There are certain things that are best left alone and things that are better left unsaid. Because you may disagree, and that's fine. Here's the other thing, too. When you disagree with something, try to figure out a positive way to manifest your disagreement in such a way that it helps others and hinders or harms no one. So be sure to check out all the awesome podcasts on the One Institution Network. Go to www.oneinstitution.com and like and subscribe all the podcasts there. It's some really incredible talent that are talking about some really incredible, relevant, real, raw subjects that will absolutely help you. So in the meantime, may you be happy, may you be well, and may you be filled with peace.